Students in Parkland are mobilizing and getting a lot of financial support. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. President Trump announced yesterday that he's told Attorney General Jeff Sessions to come up with regulations that ban bump stocks. Those are the accessories that allow semi-automatic weapons to operate almost like automatic weapons, firing hundreds of rounds per minute. The shooter in last year's massacre in Las Vegas used bump stocks. The shooter at the school in Parkland, Florida, a week ago did not. Meanwhile, a group of students from that school in Parkland have spent the week since the mass shooting there lobbying and fundraising for gun control laws. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra has been following this. Marielle?
The students have been giving news interviews. They've led rallies. They've met with Florida lawmakers. They've even started planning a march next month in Washington, D.C. and other cities. And they've been able to mobilize a lot of money very quickly. They have a GoFundMe page for the march. In 2 days, it's gotten nearly $1.2 million from about 16,000 donors. On top of that, yesterday, the students got some major donations of $500,000 each from celebrity couples and Hollywood executives, including George and Amal Clooney, Oprah, the studio exec Jeffrey Katzenberg, and his wife, Marilyn Siegel. That's about $3.2 million total so far. And the GoFundMe page says the money would go towards planning the march and anything left over would go into victims' funds.
All right. Marketplace, Marielle Segarra, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future down 63 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.89%. A panel of Texas lawmakers is going to meet today to take a hard look at how the state funds higher education each year. This is something legislatures across the country have been struggling with, not just how to fund higher education, but also how to contain rising tuition costs. So a lot of eyes will be on Texas. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
States use a variety of formulas to finance their colleges and universities. In Texas, schools get money based on the credit hours they offer. Then there's money for so-called special items, such as new research, a facility, or programs that somehow stay special.
Over time, it's become annually renewed without necessarily evaluating what's happened with the program.
Susan Schaefer is an analyst for Moody's. She says earmarking is attractive because it's flexible. Not every school qualifies for special item funding, though. Sarah Pingle is with the Education Commission of the States. She says that's because every state has its politics.
When individual institutions are able to approach and lobby the legislature for funding outside of what's allowed in the formula, there are certainly always going to be winners and losers.
Many states have moved to performance-based formulas to fund higher education. But for some colleges and universities, the default solution in a tough funding environment remains the same. Raise tuition. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
Let's just take a minute to breathe after 3 weeks of big market moves. The S&P 500 and the Dow have recovered somewhat from their heart-stopping drops earlier this month. Washington Post columnist and Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan has been taking stock of how we think about market moves and joins us now. Alan, first of all, congratulations on getting the word haruspices in your Washington Post column earlier this month. Those are ancient oracles who try to tell the future by looking at animal entrails, which you say is actually easier to do than explaining the stock market. So, Alan, that said, what do you think caused the big drop in markets earlier this month?
Well, now I know. But at the time, if you remember, everyone, all these market experts, had this great reason for it. Well, it's interest rates. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. And a good part of it turned out to be this technical problem, which I'm not sure I understand, and I know I can't explain.
The volatility index, which was that a lot of people were invested in volatility and that changed and they lost a lot of money and had to cover themselves by selling stocks and it set off a chain in the
markets. Well, the entity, the exchange-traded fund that did this had to liquidate and it was a mess. And that's what always happens when an ETF runs into big problems.
Well, but we have heard some explanations that seem good. Like, you know, interest rates are expected to rise. We do think inflation is going to happen. Does that not have anything to do with it, you think?
Well, in the long run, things like inflation and interest rates matter. But the stories that we're covering, it's always the daily market story, right? Nobody says, well, here's what stocks have done for the last 3 months or the last year. It's here's what they did yesterday or here's what they're doing now. And there always is supposed to be a rational economic explanation for it. And often there isn't.
So basically you're saying that, yes, long term, we have these factors like inflation, like interest rates, like Fed rates. But day to day, it really could be anything.
Right. And often it's momentum. It's happening because it's happening. Mm. And that doesn't make for a very good story, does it?
No. What about the idea of profit taking, that basically sometimes people just decide to sell their stocks and make money?
Excuse me. Profit taking is a euphemism. Do you know what is a euphemism for, Sabrina?
What?
Selling. Okay, it's a euphemism for a decline in stock prices. You don't know that the people selling, who are institutions and now probably robots, you don't know if they have profits or losses. You know that they're selling, but profit-taking is nicer than selling, and correction is nicer than price drop. So, and people buy into this stuff. And every year or so, I rant about it, and nobody cares, but I care.
Well, we care, Alan.
Thank you, Sabri. I appreciate it.
Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure, Sabri.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.